For the last 4 weeks, we've been in a series in the Holy Spirit, where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Week one, we talked about Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, fills the believers. Peter gives the first Holy Spirit-infused gospel proclamation. 3,000 people are added to the church that day. Week two, we talked about the biblical idea of regeneration, which simply says that it's the Holy Spirit that actually makes you a believer. When you have faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God indwells you, changes you, turns you from death to life, from an enemy of God to a child of God. Week three, we talked about how Jesus continues his ministry through his Spirit in his people, and that's us. And so we are the continuation of the work and the ministry of Jesus that he started when he was here on earth. Last week, Santi talked about the posture that we should have towards the things of the Spirit. And man, the interesting thing as we've been going through this, and honestly been a little bit surprised by this, but in this series, I have not received one concerned or angry email, not a snarky comment at all. Haven't even received like kind of a smug face in this entire process, which I found to be somewhat interesting, man. Like no one seems to have been too terribly uncomfortable in the last 4 weeks that we've been in this. But the reality is all that stands to change today, okay? Because we are today talking about spiritual gifts. Man, okay, there we go, Beth. We got one person excited. The rest of us are nervous. It's going to be fine, okay? And it's always interesting, man, like I went to this in the first service, but my own insecurity plays out on a week like this where we're talking about things that are mysterious. Like Jesus said, the Spirit's like the wind, so it's not something we can really control. It's kind of hard to get our minds around it. But I always have that kind of insecure thought in the back of my brain where I know that there's probably some of y'all that have been inviting your friends to church for months, and then today is the day they show up. When we're talking about weird stuff, okay? And I just want you to know that it's gonna be fine. They're gonna be fine, you're gonna be fine, God's in control, it's gonna be fine, okay? And so I'm telling myself that, you need to tell yourself that too. We're gonna be good, okay? So if you have your Bibles and you are able, will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? We're gonna be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 7, we're gonna pick up where we left off a few weeks ago. It says this: to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Hang on to that verse. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Jesus, this morning, as we step into mysterious territory, Father, I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray for those like myself who didn't grow up in a background that ever talked about this, Father, and are feeling uncomfortable currently, Father, I pray, Jesus, that you would speak to us now, God, that we would feel calm, and that we would understand that what we're talking about is simply Scripture. It's simply your word revealed to us. And so, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you be with us? I pray that Christ would be glorified alone in this. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can take a seat. Man, when I was in the eighth grade, I went to a Christian camp in Oklahoma called Frog Road Christian Camp. And the reason they named it Frog Road was because they'd found this really big rock and they painted it like a frog right by the road. There we go. Super innovative stuff here. Like this, this should be like on the front cover of This Is Oklahoma magazine, okay? Like, this is the perfect picture of my home state. It doesn't add anything to this sermon. I just thought it was great, okay? So I went to this camp, and it was a typical camp. You know, we had a good time. It was fine. It was a lot of sweating and carbs and sessions and terrible sleep and whatnot. But at the end of the camp, they ended up doing this thing where they hand out awards to some of the campers. They couldn't do everybody because there's hundreds of kids there. And it was awards like you know, the most servant-hearted camper and the most athletic camper and the funniest camper and the prettiest camper, all those things. And since it was the 90s and you could still do stuff like this, they also had thrown in some awards that were just there to like roast some kids. You know, nobody was suing for public humiliation in the 90s, okay? So you still did things like this. And they were getting near the end of this, and I'm in the audience hanging out, and they announce one of the awards, and it's the Space Cadet Award for the camper with the most empty brain, you know, like the spaciest brain of everyone at camp. Again, you can't do that today, okay? Like, this is producing baggage that's going to carry with this child till their death. But they announce the Space Cadet Award, everybody giggles, and then they announce my name. Austin Lawrence, Space Cadet, okay? And I tell you that because without being self-deprecating, because this is just fact, for the first couple decades of my life, this was one of the most consistent comments I got about myself, okay? Like, I always in school struggled academically. I barely made it out of high school. A lot of you guys in college, you showed up with credits, you know? Like, you showed up with college credits. You're like a sophomore, but you're only 16. I don't even know how that works. But I showed up and had to take remedial courses for the first year, which means I came in at a negative. No credits for the first year of college. I just had to figure out how to do high school over. It's pretty awesome. I was suspended 3 times in my time in high school. I set a detention record for 1 year when I was in high school. And it wasn't because I was selling drugs in the parking lot. It was because I'm dumb. Like, I just did stupid things when I was in high school. It was all Space Cadet stuff. My freshman year of college, I had a guy tell me that I was the only male airhead that he had ever met. Okay? Like, literal Space Cadet. Okay? But what I will tell you, and this sounds weird, and in the first service, I felt strange about it, okay? But I don't know how else. Like, I feel very comfortable being self-deprecating. It's hard to talk about something that the Lord's doing other than that. But what is interesting is that from that background, something like shifted in me about 15 years ago. And it's hard to make sense of it, but when I mean shift, there were things that started to kind of change in my brain. Like, I started to hang on to information and things that I didn't used to. I started to develop like a passion for studying and reading, which had never been there before. There were biblical verses. I was able to recall things in scripture that I didn't feel like should be in my head. I was able to like make connections with scripture and Bible verses that I know shouldn't be in my brain. And the reality is that there's stuff in there and stuff that comes out just in daily activities that I know I don't read my Bible enough for it to be there. Like, if I'm honest with you, as someone who is ADD, kind of Enneagram 7, I have a hard time. I struggle with a consistent daily quiet time. Like, I struggle consistently reading my Bible on a daily basis. There are people in this church that read their Bible much more than I do, okay? And so when I say that something has shifted, I mean that there's been something in that vein that has happened. And so how do I make sense of it, man? Like, you might be a science person and you're like, well, man, your brain just finally developed when you were 30 years old. That happens to a lot of people. I don't think that's what happened, okay? Turn over to Romans chapter 12 because I think this helps make sense. At least it has for me. This is another list of spiritual gifts that are given by Paul. Romans 12, starting in verse 4, it says this. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, individual members of one another. And this is where he picks up on the list of gifts. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. See, the only way that I've been able to make sense of this thing, and honestly, my wife is the one who's watched me over the last almost 20 years, and she's like, yeah, something's different. I mean, she literally said, you know, because when we got married, you were kind of a ding-dong. I mean, like, you were, you know, just all, you said kind of a space cadet. And the only way that I've been able to make sense of this is that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has imparted to me a gift of what I would call teaching. I think that there's things that are happening in my brain that shouldn't be there. I think the Holy Spirit is doing something in and through me, and to this day continues to do something in me that is actually separate from me. That is not just my natural gifting. It's not just because I'm an intellectual, because I am not. Man, I am not a smart man. I am not an intellectual man. I don't have a seminary degree, even though I'm in seminary now. I have an undergraduate degree in marketing. Like, the Lord, I believe, has done something unique and particular and continues to do something through me that is not natural to me. And it's a spiritual gift. I believe it's a spiritual gift. Now, I think that that's helpful as we step into this, because a couple weeks ago, as we talked through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I asked you in terms of homework to pray about and to think about this manifestation that you personally have been given for the common good. Because the Bible says if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you have one of these gifts, at least one of these gifts. Now, to start the conversation, I want to make a distinction and define a few definitions because I think that it's helpful, but I will tell the type A's in the room that this is not like a very cut and dry conversation. Okay, there's not like categories and we're like, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. There's overlap in the things that we're about to talk about, that the Bible speaks about, okay? So in this conversation, the first thing that the Bible tells us is that all people have talents that they are given by God. And this is Christians and non-Christians. These are things that God has placed into the wiring of you and I, all right? And this word talent is the same. It's a biblical word that we still use in our culture today. America's got talent. He's really talented. Like, that comes straight from Scripture, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And a talent in Bible times was actually a unit of measure that was used for money. But when you look at the parable that Jesus gives, it's actually, you can really use it to describe everything that we have. All of our resources, our relationships, our intellect, our physical makeup, our passions, our natural giftings, all of these are talents that have been given by God to all people for the sake of glorifying Him. And again, like, human beings were created for worship. We were designed to worship God. And so God has woven into the fabric of all people specific talents for the sake of glorifying Him and honoring Him. That's, again, Christians and non-Christians. And so we can understand talents as a common grace that's been given by God for the sake of glorifying God. And these are given to all people. Like, just following my story, from a young age, I always had a personality where I could stand up and talk in front of people. I don't know why, but I was captain on my soccer team, even though I was terrible at soccer. Look how I walk, okay? Like, I'm not a good soccer player. It's just because I talk a lot. Like, I got the mess beat out of me when I was a freshman. I don't even need to go into that. It's because I got a mouth, all right? But even when I was a youth minister years ago, I can look back on some of those sermons or those talks I gave to youth people, and I was just up there talking about stuff I thought was cool, like when and telling jokes, because there was no substance. Like, my space cadet, my mind was empty of these things. And again, something has shifted. But a natural talent that the Lord had given me was to be able to talk. See? So we have those talents. The second thing that the Bible teaches is that there is spiritual fruit. Paul gives a list of that fruit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Jesus says in John 15, 5, that I am the vine, and you, as Christians, are the branches. Whoever abides in me, it is he that bears much fruit. And so what we see in that is that spiritual fruit is simply a consequence of being connected to the vine. See, like, this is why when you cut a branch off of an apple tree and lay it on the ground, nobody's shocked that that thing's not making apples anymore. And it's because you have removed it from the life source. But when that branch is connected to the tree, that branch is going to naturally make apples without even trying. It's just a consequence of being connected to the life source. So it is with people in the Spirit. You don't have to really try hard every morning to be loving, joyful, peace, and patience. That is a natural consequence of being connected to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. These are fruit that naturally grow in people that are connected to Jesus. It's a consequence of being connected to Jesus. Not that we go out and we try real hard to make it happen. It's that the Holy Spirit is transforming us ever more into the likeness of Christ. Okay? So we've got talents that are given to all people. We've got fruit that are natural to people that are connected to the Spirit. And then, biblically, there are spiritual gifts. And I will tell you, admittedly, again, the lines in these can get a little bit fuzzy and there's crossover for sure, but biblically what we see is that spiritual gifts do differ from talents and spiritual fruits. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each Christian is given a manifestation or a gift of the Spirit, at least a gift of the Spirit. A lot of folks have more than one, but if you are a believer and you have the Spirit inside of you, you have one of these manifestations at least. I want to read for you Sam Storm's definition again because I really think this is helpful to get our minds around it. But he says, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation to our minds, infusing power in our wills, and working his sovereign and gracious purposes through us. Spiritual gifts must never be viewed as if God out there has sent something to us down here. Spiritual gifts are God present in, with, and through human thoughts, human deeds, human words, and human love. That's a spiritual gift. Man, earlier this week, I got asked to go hunting. And I do not own a rifle because no one should trust me with one of those, okay? But I went and it was on a private ranch. And at the end of this hunt, my buddy Daryl that took me ended up giving me his old rifle, which was the manliest gift. So I got this gun, and I've been thinking about this gun. And on Wednesday, I was talking to Catherine, who's sitting here on the front row, and my wife, about this sermon. And I was like, man, you know what? Spiritual gifts are like that gun Daryl gave me. It's because I didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't earn it. He just gave it to me because he wanted to. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, that God gives these gifts to each as he wills. And then Catherine looked at me and she was like, yeah, but that's a terrible analogy, which happens sometimes. I mean, you got editing rights. She said, that's a terrible analogy because with spiritual gifts, and this broke my brain when she said it, it's like Daryl gives you the gun, but it would be as if Daryl was still the one firing the gun through you, which is sci-fi stuff, right? It's not just that he gave me the gift, it's that he's actually operating the gift through me. Is that not crazy? Man, if you're new to this, you're like, I'm never coming back to this place again. But it's in the Bible. This is what Sam Storms is talking about, and this is what we're reading about in Scripture. That is a spiritual gift. It's God, I'm going to read this again, that last verse. Spiritual gifts are God present in, with, and through human thoughts, human deeds, human words, and human love. And so it is God, it's as if God gives us the gun, but it's still God the one who's firing the gun. And there's a number of places that we get lists of spiritual gifts. In the New Testament, you got places like Romans 12 that we just read, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and then specifically 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, which I had you read a couple of weeks ago. And man, contrary to some things that I read this week, I don't think that the lists that we find in the New Testament are intended to be like an exhaustive list of all the spiritual gifts that are. Instead, I think what's happening is that Paul is just trying to put language to the things that he is observing and seeing in believers in the New Testament. And so he shows up to a church on missionary journeys and he's like, man, I can't even believe the level of hospitality and generosity that I'm experiencing from this person. I think if you were able to talk to Paul, he would tell you that the entire church at Philippi had the gift of hospitality and generosity for how well they loved him and treated him. He's going around and he's seeing believers that have this special spiritual manifestation of mercy for one another. There's a manifestation of empathy that he's seeing in people, the way that they're caring for others, the sacrificial way in which they put themselves out there to love those that are on the margins and to love those that are in need. He's seeing these things that are popping up in the lives and the hearts of people. We've already talked about teaching, and man, my story is not intended to just be like some manual that you go out and employ. It's like, well, I'm a space cadet too. So here, it's a lot of people, like the gift of teaching looks different for lots of folks. Maybe you're someone that your natural talent is to be super intellectual and you are very smart and you like books, but you're weird in public. And so maybe the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to communicate in public. Like that's a spiritual gift of teaching as well. Like you just see, again, it's not exhaustive, and spiritual gifts look as diverse as the people that hold them, right? It's just the Holy Spirit working in and through people, the people of God, continuing the mission of Jesus. He talks about a gift of exhortation and encouragement, the gift of prayer, evangelism, leadership. And what's interesting about this, and this is where the lines get kind of blurred again, it's that all Christians, like just because you're, you know, if you're like, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I'm not called to evangelize. That's not how this works. Just because you don't feel like you have the gift of prayer doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. Like all Christians are called to pray. All Christians are called to be hospitable and merciful and encouraging and to share the gospel with people. But some people have been given a special manifestation, a special mantle for some of these things. Like some people have a Holy Spirit-infused power that makes them almost different or unbelievably effective at these things over just the general population, right? And the Holy Spirit continues to do this. I know people in this room with the Holy Spirit manifestation gift of prayer. And you do too if you've met Beth Burleson, right? I know people in here with the spiritual gift of hospitality. Man, if you've met the Cornettes, Matt and Sarah, you've already been to their house. And it blows my mind because those people have six kids. Like if I had six kids, I would cordon off my house. I would fence my front yard and never leave again. Just because I'm like, I don't want anybody to see into this, the mess that this is. And the Lord has given them a special manifestation and a special gift for hospitality, for inviting people into their lives. That is a manifestation of the Spirit. I know people, specifically Peyton Gotch, man, and we were talking about it this week. He, when he was younger, he doesn't remember being a very enjoyable person. He was funny, but he wasn't like an encouraging person. And now, like, encouragement is what characterizes this man. One of the most encouraging people I've ever been around. And there is a spiritual gift and a manifestation for encouragement in his life. And so you get all of these, but then you also, in addition to this, Paul gives us gifts that for some of us make us feel uncomfortable. And it's the more miraculous things of healing and prophecy, words of knowledge, spiritual discernment, speaking in tongues. Right? I know the room got real light. It's like everybody's like, you know, like you're just kind of holding your breath. What are we going to say about this? And man, there are still big demographics of the Christian faith that believe that these more miraculous giftings have ceased. And you may notice that in this entire series, I haven't gone into the language of talking about the theological distinctions of cessationist and charismatic and continuationist, because I don't know that it's helpful. It's the same reason when I go to the mechanic and Beaudry and Captain are sitting there talking about my engine and the scooter stick and like all the other stuff. And they use all this language. I'm like, I don't know anything about that. It's, the scooter stick's not a part of an engine, is it? That was a Joe Dirt. Yeah, nobody knows what Joe Dirt is because I'm old. But it's not helpful for them to use the technical language because I don't know anything about engines. Just tell me the thing's broke and how much it's going to cost. And I think the same thing can happen in theology. Like, we don't need the big distinctions and big theological language because we can get lost in that. But there are people in the Christian faith that believe these more miraculous things have ceased. And man, I've studied all of those positions and I've tried to hold some of those positions. And I will tell you again, this is a secondary issue in this place. This is not a salvific issue. And so if you believe that they have ceased, this is a place that you can be, even though your pastor believes that they continue. Okay? But this is a place that you can be, that you can be comfortable, that you can worship and be around people that love Jesus. And you can lead here, but you should just know that my position is that these are things that are still available for believers today. I really do believe that. And I've read the arguments for the idea that the miraculous have ceased. And what I, at least my opinion, what I've come to, is really the only solid case that you can make for the fact that the miraculous gifts have ceased is experiential. Meaning that your experience in the Christian faith does not line up with what you read about in the Bible. Because if you just go to the Bible without any context, without any understanding of American Christianity, without any time spent in the church, and you read the Bible, what you're going to walk away with is the belief that these things are still available and active in the lives of believers today. This is why 4 weeks ago, I had you read through the book of Acts and highlight every time it talked about the Holy Spirit, it is everywhere. This is why 2 weeks ago, I had you read through 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, just to see how prevalent this thing is. And it's by Paul nonetheless. Paul, the biblical intellectual, is the one that's giving us the most instruction on spiritual things and on manifestations of the Spirit. John 3:8, Jesus says, those, the Spirit and people led by the Spirit, are like the wind. Man, meaning that you can feel its force, but you cannot control it. That's the things of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 says, do not quench the Spirit. And there's a lot of ways that we can quench the Spirit, but he's saying, don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. And you test it against the word of God. Like if you receive a prophecy from someone that goes counter to the Bible, revelation is not open, okay? If it's counter to Scripture, it's not from God. But if it falls in line with Scripture, the Lord still, I believe, works in that way. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says to pursue love and to literally, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And it's because he says prophecy is what edifies the church. You remember that in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about the way that we love one another. And he says, if I have all the gifts and all the tongues and all the stuff, but I have not love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal and I am nothing. He's not saying that these things don't exist. And we said that in the first week. Just because these things have been done badly doesn't mean that they shouldn't be done. Leadership in the church has been done very badly, but people still think we should have leaders. Money has been abused in church, but money is still needed in church. And so we shouldn't apply that metric. You can't apply that metric to all things in the faith. Just because people have abused spiritual gifts doesn't mean they don't exist. Later, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that he literally wishes everybody spoke in tongues, that they all spoke in tongues as Paul does. But he says, I would much rather you prophesy because it edifies people. Like speaking in tongues, unless there's an interpretation, is something that benefits the person but not the church. Simply, from my perspective, again, secondary issue, but you're going to have a hard time making a biblical case that these things have gone away. But the biggest reason that I personally believe that they are still active in the lives of Christians today is my own experience with it. Man, like I grew up in a church heritage that believed that all of the, we never talked about it. Like I said that in the first week, the Holy Spirit and the denomination and the background I grew up in was just kind of like that weird uncle that you saw once a year at family reunions. And you just tried not to think about it until that point. You know, it's just, it never came up. We never talked about it. There was no teaching on it. And even as a kid, I started to experience things of the Spirit that I couldn't make any sense of. See, I know people in this church today, and I know this is spooky. But even Paul says that in Romans 12, the discerning of spirits. I know people in our church today that have the gift of occasionally being able to see into the spiritual realm of things that are happening. And it spooks me out, and that is not a gift I think you want, okay? But there are people in this church that have that. I know a number of people in this church that have the spiritual gift of discernment in that they hear from the Lord things that they should not have in their brain. They hear revelation from the Lord for things that are happening around them. I know people in this church that literally have spoken words over me, like prophetic words over my life that have actually come to pass. And it always spooks me out, but it's always unbelievably encouraging to see that the Holy Spirit is working that way. You feel so seen in that. As for speaking in tongues, it is the one that still makes me feel uncomfortable, but I know a lot of people that I love and trust that operate in this and that have this gift. I know people in our church that have been miraculously healed in ways that the scientific community just has to shrug their shoulders and say, I don't know what happened here, but you don't have that anymore. See, what Paul is saying is that if you are a believer, then you have been given a manifestation of the Spirit, not to make yourself a spiritual superhero, but for the common good. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:1 that we should desire these things. And so what does it look like to desire it? And Santi talked about this some last week. But the only way I really know how to desire it is to pray that God would give it to you, to pray for it in your life. This week, just in terms of homework, as you go from this conversation, I would encourage you to sit. And if you are a believer, to really just read over that, what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, that to each is given a manifestation. If you have the Spirit inside of you, then you have a gift. And you may, at this point, it may be something that sat dormant. Maybe it's something that you've always just said, well, that's just a talent. I'm just real good at that, but you know? Like, sit with God this week and ask him to reveal to you this manifestation that you have through his Spirit. And then as you do that, spend time asking that God would give you more. Pray for these gifts in your life. And it is not about you getting these things again so you can have a superpower, but it's instead so you can get more of God. The Spirit is God. And so for us to pursue the Spirit, for us to live in the Spirit, for us to desire the Spirit, is us getting more of Jesus. And who doesn't want more of Jesus, man? Like, for us to ask that God would reveal himself to us, that he would work through us, not so we can become some big shot in whatever situation we're in life, but so that Jesus can be glorified through our lives. That we can be those broken vessels, those jars of clay that are literally carrying the power of God. That Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 is the same power that raised Christ from the grave. And whether or not you believe these gifts have ceased or you believe that they continue, if you are a believer with the Holy Spirit, that power is in you now. You have that power. And Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus that they would know it, that they would understand the power that exists within them. We have not, as Jesus says in John chapter 13, we have not been left as orphans here on our own. He has sent us a helper in the Holy Spirit. And so may we step into that. May we live into that. And what I'll tell you is that if you would like to get some more just specific teaching or specific understanding on some of the more miraculous gifts, there's a book called Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. We got a picture of it here. You can pick that up on Amazon, or I've got copies of it at the info counter. You can, you know, scan the QR code and buy it on your way out today. There may be better resources for this. I have no idea. This is the best one I've read in terms of getting a feel for some of these things that for many of us make us uncomfortable. And so as we go out this morning, as we go to the communion table, as we celebrate the gospel through the elements that we have here in the bread that represents the body of Christ broken, in the cup that represents his blood that was poured out, as we celebrate the fact that he has taken your life in death and through his Spirit given you spiritual life. Now is the time to spend time in examination, to go to God, to again ask him to reveal that manifestation that's in your life, but also to desire these things for his glory, not that you'd be a big deal, but that he would be glorified through your life. And as we do that, I'm going to pray for us. And as we sing, if you are a Christian, you are welcome at the table. Let's continue to pray this morning. Father God, I thank you for your grace. Jesus, very simply, I just want more of you. If there's legit avenues to be more connected to the vine, if there's way that that life source can be more present in our lives as believers, if there's a way to speed up the fruit production, if there's a way to have these manifestations more evident in our lives, then God, I want it, and I want it for this church. Father God, would your Spirit move in us? Would your Spirit speak to us? God, and would you make us a humble people in that? Not those that are trying to just look more spiritual for those, for our friends at work or our friends at school, but those that genuinely just want you. God, we want Jesus to be glorified in this place, Jesus to be glorified in this city. And I pray that you would use all of the jars of clay that are sitting in this room right now, housed with your presence to that end. Jesus, would you work in us now? It's in Christ's name I pray.